Christmas is about miracles. Christmas is about hope and peace and love. Christmas is prophesied here in the book of Isaiah and written some 700 years before His birth when the ladies ended that song with "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." I want you to know that Israel as a nation was waiting the birth of Christ that was forecasted to them 700 years before. 1,000 years after God promised David that his seed would live on forever, and 700 years after Isaiah prophesied that God would come in the flesh, Emmanuel would be God with us, that took place in Luke chapter number 2. Christmas is a time of celebration, isn't it? Joy is resident in this celebration. But as we read Isaiah chapter 10, there wasn't much joy in the nation of Israel. In fact, times were hard. The 10 tribes of the northern kingdom had already fallen to mighty Assyria. In 587 BC, the unthinkable happened as Jerusalem and the southern kingdom fell to the Babylonians. David's dynasty seemed decimated, as now the children of Israel were in bondage. All 12 tribes were in bondage. The temple was destroyed. Israelites were taken as slaves or were killed. God's promise of a descendant from King David who would reign forever seemed unimaginable, impossible. That's Isaiah chapter number 10. In fact, at the close of Isaiah chapter 10, We see the infestation of human pride like a vast forest cut down. God swings His axe and the whole evil system falls to pieces. In fact, Israel visually could only see bare stumps and remember what was. That's Isaiah chapter number 10. In fact, go back there if you would. I want you to look at verse number 15. And see the terminology that is used here leading up to chapter number 11. Verse number 15, "Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood." Verse number 17, "And the light of Israel shall be for fire, and His Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour His thorns and His briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of His forest and of His fruitful field, both soul and body. And they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth, and the rest of the trees of His forest shall be few, that a child may write them." Verses 33 and 34 of chapter 10. "Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall lop the bow with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled, and He shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one." Israel, living in a time frame in their history where there were no branches waving in the wind. Their trees were cut down, so to speak. Their people was cut down. Their freedom was cut down. Their temple was cut down. Their leaders were cut down. There were other nations that would reign over them. There was no birds flying around. There was no life. There was no movement. There was death. The world was dead, so to speak, to Israel. 12 tribes that had lived and come through Egypt and had crossed the Red Sea and had had great times of victory with God. But if I could title chapter 10, I would title chapter 10, "A Terrible Year for Israel." You ever had a terrible year? I mean, just a lot of bad things happened in the same year. I mean, no branches waving in the wind. Not much to smile about. Seemed just like bad. That's where Israel is at. But wait. Look at chapter number 11. What do you find as the first word in chapter number 11? And. Wow, everything's been cut down. Everything's been destroyed. Everything is under a dark cloud, so to speak. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Whoa! In a chapter of no hope, in a chapter of darkness, in chapter number 10, in a chapter where everything was decimated, in a chapter where they're living lives that are dark and cloudy, and there shall come out of Jesse, the root of Jesse, a branch, capital B, speaking of who? Jesus. A branch. Wait a second. They could only see stumps. They couldn't see that there was still somebody that was going to come from the line of David that would be the branch, that would be the Messiah. But I love how God pens the Scriptures. He pens them with realities of life that are painful, but with bright spots of hope to look ahead to. And for Israel, this would be a bright spot of hope. Now, to give you a little bit of background and understanding of chapter number 11, Isaiah chapter 11 is a millennial passage of Scripture. It's important when we're studying the Scriptures to know what we're dealing with so that we interpret the Scriptures rightly. Give you, if you're relatively new to the faith, just a brief future lesson on the events that are going to take place in the future. The next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. All saints will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want you to know God's calendar in heaven has that as the next event, and nothing is hindering it but God the Father saying, Son, it's time to return. That's the next event on God's calendar. By the way, it's not a mystical event. It's not an event that is going to be allegorical, that's talking about something else. It is a literal event that Jesus is coming back in the clouds, and those of us that are saved shall ever so ever be with the Lord. Thank God, what a future we have. Jesus is coming back. After that time of rapture, the Bible teaches us that the tribulation will take place. 7 years of great tribulation, such as the world has never seen, as God pours out 28 judgments upon this earth. They're described in the book of Revelation. Terrible time for those that have not received Christ, and terrible time for Israel. Really, it's God dealing with Israel. But those that have rejected Christ will go through the great tribulation. There will be death. There will be morbid scenes all over the place. It is going to be a terrible time. But at the end of the tribulation period, that 7 years, Jesus comes back. And instead of coming back just to the clouds, He comes back and He stands on the Mount of Olives. And He begins a millennial reign of 1,000 years. Isaiah chapter 11 is the context of Jesus, or of Isaiah the prophet telling Israel the nation about the millennial reign of Christ that still is to come. But I want you to understand some things about the millennial reign. Can you imagine a world dominated by righteousness and goodness? A world where there's no injustice, where no court ever renders an unjust verdict, where everyone is treated fairly. Imagine a world that is true and right, including interpersonal relationships and commerce and education and government. Can you imagine a world like that today? Does that seem impossible to you? It does to me. Almost unimaginable. Why? Because, brethren, we're living in days where we see stumps. We don't see much good in America today, in the world today. And so the hope that God is giving to Israel is the same hope that He gives to you and me. Imagine a world where there's complete, total, enforced, permanent peace, where joy abounds, good health prevails. So much so that people live for hundreds of years again. That's the millennial reign. of Jesus Christ. Imagine a world where the curse is removed, when the environment is restored to the pristine purity of the Garden of Eden, where peace reigns even in the animal kingdom. Look at verse number 6 of Isaiah chapter number 11. The Bible says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Lions, leopards, wolves, little children leading them. We had some young people leading goats last night. And alpaca? We had an older guy trying to lead a donkey. But lions? But leopards? Yep. In the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, it is going to be a totally different world, my friend. Imagine a world ruled by a perfect, glorious ruler who instantly and firmly deals with sin. Imagine Jesus Christ reigning on earth in the millennial reign of Christ. When Isaiah wrote Isaiah chapter 11, Israel was in the midst of grief and bondage and futility. Yet there was a promise. There was a glimmer of hope. There was a branch that would come out of the root of Jesse. When Isaiah looked at Israel as he was penning these words, he saw a sinful nation that one day would walk on the highway of holiness and enter into God's kingdom, His millennial kingdom. He saw a suffering people who would one day enjoy a beautiful and a peaceful kingdom. He saw a scattered people that one day would be regathered and reunited under the reign of Jesus Christ. The prophet wrote, "There shall come forth a branch." It's interesting, the word that is the original word here comes from the word which we get, our word Nazarene. Oh, the branch would come out of Nazareth. He would be Jesus, the Nazarene. True Israel still has a future because of Emmanuel, because of the branch. Where a tree had been cut down, such as the mighty nation of Israel, now life would return. It would return through the branch that would come from the root of Jesse. And by the way, he did come. Turn to Matthew chapter 1, if you will. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. What is the next phrase? The Son of David. Oh, he did come. And he did come from the root of Jesse and was known as the Son of David. Just like Isaiah prophesied. My friends, that's why we believe in an inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. One of the reasons we believe in that is because of the internal prophecies that we find fulfilled. Here's Isaiah writing 700 years before. Here's Matthew writing 700 years later on the generations of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 1 matches Matthew chapter 1 to perfection. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Matthew's writing at the beginning, or towards the front of the first century of Christ, A.D. John is writing Revelation 22 at the very end of the century, right around A.D. 95. And here's what Revelation 22 says. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David." So, Isaiah prophesied 700 years before. Here Matthew writes toward the beginning of the time of Jesus, the beginning of that century. And in Revelation, John writes towards the end of that century. And Jesus says, "I'm of the root of the offspring of David." Do you see all the dots connect, my friend? They all connect. What Isaiah prophesied came true. It was prophesied and fulfilled. Sadly, many people at Christmas time don't feel much joy. It's joyful for some, But for others, it's sorrow. Circumstances suck the joy right out of some hearts. But that is because they're seeking joy in people and circumstances that ultimately can't deliver joy. If the ultimate source of your joy is your marriage, and then it falls apart, so does your joy. If the ultimate source of your joy is your finances, and they bust, so does your joy. If the ultimate source of your joy is your family, and they move away, or God forbid, one dies, then so does your joy. Brethren, true joy, joy that's offered to the world, is only found in one person. That's Christ. Christ brings joy to the world in three ways I want you to see in the text this morning. Number one, when things are not clear, you can trust in Christ for understanding. I want you to look at verse number 2, if you will. Verse number 2 of our text. The Bible says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and what? Understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Have you ever felt unclear how to proceed forward in life? I mean, it looked like just going to go through life and this step and this step. But then you came up to something and it's not so clear anymore. Uh-oh. What do I do here? What decision do I make here? Wasn't planning on this. Now what? My plans and the direction that I was going, it totally changed. Now what do I do? Oh, thankfully the branch that came was Jesus. Has the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. I want you to look at Luke chapter 4, if you will, verse number 18. No clear way forward, preacher, in my life. I don't know. I really don't know what is the next forward step. I'm somewhat confused. I'm somewhat lost. It doesn't seem like there are any signs on my path that's telling me what to do next, where to go. Who to marry? What's in my future? Where to live? What do I do then? You remember that Christ has the Spirit of understanding. In Luke chapter 4, verse number 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Did you ever think about the poor being not having a clear path in life? The other week we were in York City. We were doing some vision casting and praying together and looking at the homeless. Think about them in relationship to what the next day is going to bring forth. Food, breakfast, for lunch. Oh, but wait a second. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Who's speaking here? Oh, Jesus is speaking. And He's speaking, and He says, "He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Oh, I have direction for people whose life is unclear. The poor of this world. "He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." You ever been brokenhearted before? I have. It's not a very good feeling. Feels like a chair has been pulled out from under you, if I can describe it to some degree. Feels like, how do you pick up the pieces of what's broken? And where do you go from here? Oh, but Christ was given the Spirit of understanding to watch this, to heal the brokenhearted. He has understanding to be able to heal somebody who has a broken heart. You have a broken heart this morning? Feel like the chair's been pulled out from underneath you? Feel like you just got plastered by a semi-truck? Your heart? By the way, those are real things. I want you to understand this morning that you may not know what's next in life. The picture forward may not be clear. But you do have a Savior who is understanding. Thankful for that. To preach deliverance to the captives. I think of prisoners. What's the way forward? Oh, another 10 years in prison here? Then whatever the judge decides after that, if I'm on probation, if I get out on parole, if I have to have a tether, I don't know. I don't know what my life's going to look like in the next year, 2 years, 3 years. Oh, captive. But what does Christ have understanding to provide? Deliverance to the captives. Recovering of the sight to the blind. Set at liberty them that are bruised. You unclear about how to proceed in your life situation? Be reminded Christ gives understanding. Because watch this. He knoweth the way that I take. You know what God has understanding of that you may not? He knows the next step. He knows the next right step in your life. Did you know something else about His understanding? He has the potential to lead you. In fact, in Psalm 23, it talks about that shepherd, Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me, right? That's what we find in that chapter, that phrase. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He leadeth me beside still waters. You know what? Jesus understands what the next step in your life is. He understands what you need. The branch, when he came with a spirit of wisdom and he came with a spirit of understanding. You say, preacher, I have no idea what my next step is. I remember in my last year of college, I was completely up in the air. I had no idea what was going to happen that next summer. 4 years of Bible college. Now what? Now what, Lord? You can't just barge yourself into a church. Lord, I want to serve you, but I have no idea. I remember them coming to me and saying, you know, we'd like to offer you a GA position to stay and get your master's degree. Out of nowhere. Wasn't even in my thought process. Never saw it. Never understood that that would be my next step. Watch this. He did. He led me. He led me to that being the next step in my life. And brethren, I couldn't see it. I was searching. I was seeking God. I had no idea what God was going to do. I felt lost. I felt in the dark. But He had understanding. He leads. Christ gives us an understanding of the gospel. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Christ gives understanding when the path is unclear. I want you to understand that one of the reasons why you can have joy this morning in your life is that Christ gives understanding. He gives understanding of the gospel to people that are without Him. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 20. The Bible says, and we know that the Son of God has come. That's a reason for rejoicing. And hath given us an understanding. Do you see that? Do you see that that comes from Him? That comes from God. That comes from His Son, Jesus Christ. Hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. What's the Bible saying here? Christ came with understanding. What does that mean? He came to take the blinders off people's eyes. And for them to understand that there's a God that they can know. Brethren, you ought to rejoice this morning in this sense. You don't serve an unknowable God. You have a God that you can know through His Son, Jesus Christ. And Christ is the person that gives us that understanding. He gives understanding to His will for our lives. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. In Colossians 1, Paul had an unbelievable assurance that the believers at Colossians, those at the church at Colossians, would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and understanding. I want you to see verse number 8. The Bible says, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause also, since we heard it, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now my question is this, why would Paul pray for that and desire that if it was impossible? No, he was praying and desiring something that was very real. I talked to one of our men last night at the Christmas musical. We were talking about job opportunity and whether or not to continue on with a job. You know what? I believe that God will give that individual that I talked to last night the knowledge of His will regarding that. Because Christ gives understanding, gives spiritual understanding to things. He's the only one who can lead and guide you through your life. We are no match for the world today. Listen, don't let the world lead and guide you. Don't let somebody substitute the place of Jesus. He came with a spirit of understanding and wisdom in order to lead and guide and direct your life. And my friend, even if you're in dark days, if you're in days that you say, "Preacher, I don't know the next step forward. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know. There's just a lot of unknowns in my life. And maybe the forward path looks bad." Hey, you can rejoice today because you have Jesus who will give you understanding in the will of God and in the gospel. Christ, number three, makes the path easy back to Him. Whew. He gives understanding of how to come back. I like this. Look at verse number 11, if you will. Of course, it's a millennial passage. Millennial passage means, watch this, we're in the age of the church, right? Right now, we're living in the age of the church. We call it the age of grace, but it's the age of the church. It's a parentheses age. God dealt with Israel in the Old Testament. God allows the church age in the New Testament to be established. But guess what? He's coming back to deal with His people. Have His people, by large, accepted Him as the Messiah? Oh no. They certainly haven't. Has God given up on them? Oh no. I want you to look at verse number 11 of Isaiah chapter 11. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day," again it's speaking of the millennial reign of Christ, "that the Lord shall set His hand again the second time to recover the remnant of His people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea." Isaiah compares the millennial reign of Christ here to a second Exodus. Like when Israel was released from Egypt. Remember that after the 10 plagues? Remember, they went to Pharaoh. Moses went to Pharaoh over and over again, said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh would not let them go until that 10th plague occurred. That 10th plague occurred and they lost their firstborns. And all of a sudden, Israel's released. They crossed the Red Sea. And God begins to lead them out of bondage. Here He says in verse number 11, "to recover the remnant of His people, that the Lord shall set His hand again the second time." Whew. You ever need a second time in your life? I mean, you drifted. I mean, you were backslidden. I mean, the Lord was not your God in the sense that He didn't have first place. Other things crept in. "But shall set His hand again the second time to recover the remnant." Look down at verse number 16. Again, speaking in the time of the millennial reign, "and there shall be a highway and highway for the remnant of His people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that He came up out of the land of Egypt." Watch this. When God brought Egypt out, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, what did He do? He made a highway, didn't He? He parted a Red Sea. Now watch this. Israel's going to go through great tribulation. Great tribulation during the 7 years. But watch this. God makes a highway for His remnant. He says, "Come back to Jerusalem and worship Me." And they do in the millennial reign of Christ. He makes a highway. Watch this. Jesus has understanding. Understanding to the point of patience to work with us over and over and over again. Say, "Preacher, I'm not proud of where I'm at with God." Listen, there's a way back. Amen. There's always a highway back. Amen. there's always a road back to the Lord. This is brought out in this passage. Why should we have joy? In the midst of stumps, in the midst of some things being decimated in our lives, in the midst of darkness, when things are not right, you can trust Christ for justice. Point number two in the message. Joy to the world because when things are not right, you can trust Christ for justice. When things are unclear, you can trust Him for understanding. But when things are not right, you can trust Him for justice. Look at verse number 4 of Isaiah chapter number 11. The Bible says this, "But with righteousness shall He judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And He shall smite the earth with the rod of His mouth, and with the breath of His lips shall He slay the wicked." Did you ever notice that children are hardwired in their DNA for justice? They have a passion for justice. Because it's not long after they're able to speak that they usually utter these words, "It's not fair." Right? "It's not fair. Mommy, she got two cookies and I only got one. It's not fair." In my home, well, I won't give any illustrations anymore. I want to eat lunch today. But it's not fair. Boy, sometimes we all think that, don't we? It's not fair. One of the ways faith in Christ helps me is that it tells me someday Jesus will return and He will make all things right. The millennial reign of Christ, He will be a just ruler. For people of faith, we can release someone that hurts us to the Lord. Why? Because He's a just God. God will always judge right. I'll be honest with you, sometimes we don't judge right. Individually, we don't judge situations right. We don't judge people right. We don't judge motives right. We do a lot of judging, and sometimes we don't judge right. But I will tell you this, when Jesus comes to rule and reign, He will be a just ruler. He will judge all things right. The Bible says here, He will usher in justice. Because of this, we can trust Jesus with any injustice that we may feel. There are people here that have been through divorces in our church. I know that when somebody goes through that, there are injustices. There are deep hurts. There's trouble. There's rejection. There's loss of trust. Sometimes one mate will go after everything and leave the other mate with nothing. I understand all those things, but I want you to know this morning, if you've been through that, I want you to know that you serve a God of justice. You can let go of that, and you can let God take care of all that. God knows how to take care of all that. He's a just God. We pursue justice the best we can, but our justice system isn't perfect. Sometimes in America, our justice system lets us down. Sometimes people get away with things they shouldn't. And sometimes the guy that's done right is judged as though he's done wrong. But God will settle all scores someday. Someone once said, God doesn't settle all His accounts in 30 days. We don't have to worry about it. We can trust Jesus for justice. In your life, if you're hurting this morning, may I encourage you to find joy in the fact that you serve a Savior that is just. Listen, there have been some people in this church I know, I prayed over some situations this year that have been treated unjustly. They have not been treated right. But I want you to understand that Jesus is a just God. And my friend, what that does is that takes the burden off revenge, retaliation, and things that you would hold in your spirit that would enslave you for years. What it does is it allows you to say, Lord, Yours. You take care of it. Ha! Thank the Lord we serve a just God. And then the reason there's joy, there ought to be joy in your heart today, is where there's trouble, you can trust Christ for peace. The millennial reign of Christ is amazing. Those verses 6, 7, and 8, even among the animals, even among animals and people, young children leading these kind of animals, shows the kind of peace that will be pervasive in the millennial reign of Christ. But isn't he known as the Prince of Peace? Turn over to Isaiah 9. I'm almost done. Sometimes we limit our concept of peace to politicians and to nations and to wars. But that's not where Christ's peace is limited to. And we certainly need more peace in all those realms. Someday Christ will bring it. Yet, peace is available to the human heart. For unto us, do you see it in verse number 6? For unto us, could we just make a little adjustment to that word and say that us includes you and me? For unto us, for unto you, for unto me, a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Peace in the midst of trouble? Yes. Peace in the midst of trouble. One of the reasons why you ought not to be down mouth this time of year, one of the reasons why you ought to lift your chin up, you ought to put a smile on your face, is because you ought to get in your heart that every time there's trouble, there is a Jesus that gives peace. Every time there's a storm, there is a Jesus that brings and speaks peace. Thank God for that. It's not all bad. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, and suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Well, who was coming to earth? Jesus was coming to earth. Jesus came to earth, and they shouted. The multitude came forth, burst into rejoicing. On earth peace, goodwill to men. Joy is possible because peace is available. John 14, verse number 27 says, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There is something that goes above, supersedes the trouble that we go through, the fears that we live with, and that is the peace of God. Here are the disciples. They're fearful. Jesus is going to leave. He's going to die. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. In that same chapter, he says, peace I leave with you. Was he leaving physically? He would. Was he leaving them without internal resources to manage the troubles of life? Oh, no. He said, folks, I'm going to leave you peace. Let not your heart be troubled. The millennial reign of Christ is when King Jesus rules the earth for 1,000 years. The truth is, King Jesus is already reigning. We think Putin, Trump, you name the leaders reigning. Ain't none of them reigning. None of them have more authority than Jesus Christ Himself, who is our sovereign King. And someday He's going to come and reign physically on this earth. Our joy is found in the ultimate righteous rule of Christ. This morning, I want to take you to your songbook, Psalm 104, your hymn book 104. If you open that as I close the message. Say, preacher, I'm kind of going in the Christmas season. I'm just kind of indifferent. Apathetic, another Christmas. Life's just ho-hum. Maybe trouble. Maybe a little discouraged. Just not what it has been other years. Oh, joy to the world. Christ came to help those that future is unclear, to give them understanding. Came to those who are in trouble to provide peace. Came for those who have suffered injustice to provide justice. The songwriter wrote it this way, verse number 1, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow. Did you know that we have a choice on sins and sorrows? We can let them grow. No more let those things grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love. My friend, this time of the year ought to be and ought to bring great joy to your heart, because the branch has come out of the root of the stem of Jesse. My friend, we're not on the front side of it. We're not sitting there going, okay, Isaiah, is this really going to happen? We're on the back side of it. It has happened. We do have that. In my life, personally, how does that affect me? When I don't know what to do, where to go, what my next step is in life, I have a Jesus that is personal, that provides understanding for me. I have a Jesus that when injustices have been done, I can release them to Him because He's a just ruler. He will take care of those things. I don't have to take care of those things. And my friend, when I have trouble, I have a Jesus that brings and gives peace. He leaves peace with us. That is why, no matter what is going on in your life, you ought to have joy this morning.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.